This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show. You can bring up whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian.
And Matt.
And Vincent.
And, of course, you can join us and bring up whatever's on your mind. We've been talking about the federal government's continuing attack, all-out assault against the cryptocurrency industry. The SEC probably doing even more damage than the FBI has. I mean, the FBI and the so-called Justice Department has been going after individuals like myself and the Crypto Six for making Bitcoin available, say, peer-to-peer. But those aren't as big of hits, I don't think, to the industry as going after companies like Kraken, who just today came to an agreement with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, that it'll pay, Kraken will pay the SEC $30 million and agreeing to immediately end its crypto staking as a service platform for U.S. customers. So if you're outside of the U.S., you will still, apparently, if you have an account with Kraken and you're staking with them, then that will not affect you. But anybody inside the U.S., sorry, you're SOL as far as being able to stake on those coins that you liked and you wanted to support. And you may still be able to do it yourself by figuring out how to actually download the software and get it set up and so on and so forth. But that's going to be a significant reduction in the number of people in the United States who are going to be able to participate in staking, which basically puts those people behind the ball as far as, you know, the rest of the world who is under no such restriction. So people elsewhere on the planet are going to be able to participate in staking. They're going to be able to get the yield, which, by the way, according to the story here at CoinDesk, Kraken was offering as much of a 20% yield on its staking service. So people all over the planet are still going to be able to get that 20%. And people in the United States, sorry. Tough economic times made tougher here thanks to the SEC.
You know, it's not like the United States will go down in flames, not because the government became too powerful, but because the people became too spineless to stand up to.
That's true. I mean, look, it's hard to go up against the SEC. Library just tried, and they failed, and currently we don't even know how badly they've failed at this point. We know that the library company is going to go under. But what has yet to be determined is whether or not they're going to take Odyssey down with it, their platform that launched through the library blockchain, basically. So not all the damage has been done yet in that particular case, and the SEC has just begun to do damage when it comes to stopping staking. And Kraken must have decided, you know, they probably talked to their lawyers. And the lawyers were like, we just saw what happened with library, like, pay the $30 million and just, you know, turn it off.
Why are lawyers so wormy and cowardly and gross?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're not all that way. I mean, I kind of like my attorney.
I do too, but...
But he didn't win either.
Right.
No? Like, you can have a great attorney, and none of it matters if you got a terrible jury or a terrible judge. And judges are going to likely rule in favor of the federal government. That's just kind of what their job is. The SEC's characterization of Kraken's staking setup highlighted the quote-unquote risks that investors take on when staking their tokens with staking-as-a-service providers, which give them so-called very little protection, according to a press release. Protection from what? Well, I don't understand what you're trying to protect them from exactly. Like, this is pretty straightforward. You stake your coins, number go up. Like, that's how staking works. Obviously, the coin could go down in value, but your number of the coins that you have will go up. Like, you will continue to get, if you're staking on any kind of proof-of-stake coin, you will continue to get more of those coins.
I've seen them use this scams as an excuse, where they say they're not able to protect, they're not protecting their users from like scam coins by, I guess, like, I don't even know what logic it would be, like not investigating every single coin that wants to be on their exchange. I've seen that excuse before.
Well, then in that case, they should just go ahead and just ban selling cryptocurrencies. I mean, I'm sure that's the direction they want to go in with all of this. But if that's the reason, like, oh, well, Kraken might offer a coin that might go down in value, well, that describes absolutely every cryptocurrency out there. It also describes every stock. But, of course, the difference is the stockbrokers are registered.
Right.
So it's okay if the stocks go down. If you put all your money into stocks tonight and then the stocks crash, the market crashes tomorrow and you're like a panic sell or whatever and then you lose all your money, well, that's okay by the SEC.
Yeah, the reality is all the power players are the ones that are waging this attack. And
the people who are registered and
not only them, but the people that they answer to and the people that they answer to and the people that they answer to. And at the end of the day, you're looking at the world's top bankers is what you're looking at. And, you know, the elite of the elite. And the elite of the elite was way late to the crypto game.
Sure.
And the people who were early to the crypto game, people like us, absolute normies,
mm-hmm.
you know, average dorks. It came from lower middle class families in middle America, and we aren't legacy banking blood.
Sure.
So they are not happy about that. They don't want this type of leverage against them. This is a big, big problem. And people like us are telling the rank and file normies, the peasantry,
mm-hmm.
that, man, we really like crypto. This is a really good idea. I like doing the crypto thing. This is better than money for me, you know. That's a major competitive component that they aren't going to be able to figure out how to overcome. And now they're just on the attack.
It's desperate, but it seems to be working. That's the sad part about
it. I don't think it can work. Like I think they'll tout their wins very loudly.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, I don't think these attacks are legal. We got to go back to thinking about
the judge at the district court here in New Hampshire ruled in favor of the SEC.
He's an absolute moron.
By definition, that makes it legal. I mean,
he's an idiot. He was also biased as hell, Ian. He was,
of course, he's biased. That doesn't mean he's a moron.
No. Well, right. Okay. In that case, then he's evil.
Well, yeah.
He's flat out evil.
He's doing the federal government.
He can't even fall back on ignorance. He's just evil.
Yeah.
He went from calling, you know, when to explain to him that it's not money, it doesn't fit the definition of money, it doesn't fit the, you know, it's cryptocurrency. He decided to define it as funds. He's the one that came up with the new legal definition.
Are you referring to the library judge?
No, your judge.
No. I was referring to the library judge.
Oh, the library judge wasn't the same guy?
No, different guy.
Surprising. Either way, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're basically cookie cutter lawyer idiots with, you know, black moo-moos on.
Well, this one, I saw his. I think you were in front of but you went to one of the library hearings, right? So you saw.
No, I did not.
Oh, I saw you in a picture.
No, I didn't go to the library. I had to work.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this guy was, he seemed to be well informed. Like, you know, the guy, the judge in my case, he wasn't at all educated on cryptocurrency. But the one in the library case absolutely had spent a lot of time looking at it. Like, you could tell he had spent a lot of time looking at it based on the things that he was saying. He understood a lot of the concepts. I'm not going to say he's like, you know, expert or anything like that. But for a judge, I was pretty surprised at how knowledgeable he seemed. But he is absolutely carrying water for the federal government.
Well, they probably are the ones who taught him and advised him everything he knows about cryptocurrency.
Maybe. But, you know, his job is to do what the feds want him to do, right? And that's what he's doing. And, you know, he's they're not going to try to appeal it, at least according to Jeremy Kaufman, because they're out of money. So the SEC has completely bankrupted library, and there's not enough individual support out there to make this happen in the cryptocurrency community, even though there should be, you know, big crypto people bankrolling these guys. There should be big crypto guys, you know, whales or whatever, coming in and telling library, hey, you know, we'll help you out. But no, I don't think that's happened. They're just letting them die. Now, Kraken could certainly, if they can afford $30 million to pay to the SEC as a quote unquote settlement in this case, then they could certainly afford to pay the lawyers to fight this thing in court, but for whatever reason, they decided not to.
Will the lawyers accept crypto? Because that's what a lot of these people are fat, will be crypto.
Some will. Yeah, some there are some crypto lawyers that kind of make their bones essentially doing crypto-related cases.
Yeah, but do they accept crypto as a payment?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
So real quick here from CoinDesk, staking is the process by which proof-of-stake blockchain networks like Ethereum maintain their security. The network's decentralization or decentralized validators post crypto as a form of collateral to attest that they will stay honest. In return for processing transactions, they get rewarded with more tokens. So you're doing a job as a staker. Your computer is essentially working for the network that you're staking, and that's why you get the reward. Many crypto stakers loan their tokens to service providers who run the nodes and share in the returns. Coinbase also offers staking for its customers, as do an array of decentralized protocols. Now, it's obviously going to be a lot harder to go after decentralized protocols, but some of them have offices, some of them have boards of directors, and they're gonna put the pressure on them if they're based in the United States. And Coinbase took to Twitter today to brag about its staking service and try to act like it's just so different from Kraken's. And I'm sorry, that's not going to save you from the SEC targeting Coinbase next. I think they're going to go after as many different staking providers in the United States as possible, because they knock one down, they're going to get cocky, and they're going to just keep on coming. There's nothing to stop these people. They have unlimited... The judge in the library case even acknowledged that he made it sound like he was concerned for the amount of money that library had to spend, even though he's now extended the case another 3 months at least in requiring library to do more discovery at the very end of the case. But he even acknowledged in court, well, I understand this is very expensive for you, and the SEC has no limit on what they can do. Like, he knows that the taxpayers are the ones footing the bill for all these cases that they're bringing. There's just no end to it. So the question is, if they can go after staking, which is one of the two main types of systems that sort of back different cryptocurrencies, the other one being proof of work, why can't they go after miners next?
How are they going to find them?
Well, there are websites. I don't know if they're based in the United States, but there are some sites that allow anyone to do mining, even if you don't have the fancy equipment. So what happens is these sites...
Are they pool mining?
They're doing that. I mean, there's definitely pool mining going on, but it allows non-equipment holders, right? Because like I said before, if you want to do Bitcoin mining, you got to have some balls-to-the-wall, crazy, you know, expensive equipment. But there are people who have paid the money to have that equipment who are actually making their equipment available for anyone to essentially rent online.
Okay, all right.
So this was something that I was experimenting with prior to the raid. There's a site called, I think it was NiceHash. I believe that's the name of it. There's probably a few of them out there, where basically you pay Bitcoin into this site, and you say, I want to mine Hush, or I want to mine Dash, or I want to mine, you know, you select the thing that you're interested in, Monero, or whatever. Said,
well, why would Monero be on there?
There's just people with ballsy... graphics cards or whatever that you can.
Well, Monero's ASIC resistant, though. You can do that with a regular.
Then maybe they're
GPU.
Not ASICs. Maybe they're just regular GPUs, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, there's different people with equipment are essentially making their equipment available for anybody that's willing to pay to rent it.
So that's the strong centralized positions are actually the weakest links in the whole crypto world chain.
Yeah. All I'm saying, those guys should be, you know, talking to lawyers right now. The people that are running those mining websites out there, if they're in the United States at all, I think they're going to be the next target. Because if they can get away with going after centralized staking providers like Kraken, they can go after the centralized miners too, right? Oh, yeah, you're going to get a reward for doing work? Well, that's a security. That's essentially what they're saying with these...
You know, that's what the ATF's doing, too, with gun stuff, though. They're just redefining stuff and moving goalposts around to suit their needs, and it's not going over well with courts.
Yeah, but it took, like, decades for that to change, right?
Well, now we have EPA.
Sure. There's a ruling... You're referring to a Supreme Court ruling that happened, what, last summer?
Yeah.
Something like that? 2021.
That's not good for these bureaucrats. That EPA ruling was really bad for these bureaucrats and the way they've always run things.
Well, they're acting like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course
they're
acting.
Until somebody can challenge it, because that's the problem with court rulings, is they don't matter unless you can apply it.
Right.
And they're not going to apply it to themselves. They're just going to keep on going. So it's like, why aren't they going to go after minors? I think they probably will. I think they're just so cocky. on their win after win.
They
after
are absolutely
win.
Brazen. They are absolutely brazen.
So, I don't know. It's really, I think it looks pretty dark right now for the future of cryptocurrency here in the United States. I mean, I don't think they can, quote unquote, ban it straight out. The odds that that is going to happen still to me seems distant at best, highly unlikely. But I'll have to pull up the library post from today because library's been going off in this situation. I mean, they've got nothing left to lose at this point. Library is, you know, they tried to play by the rules. They tried to figure out what the rules were. They asked the SEC, what do we got to do to play by your rules? SEC wouldn't tell them.
SEC said, die is what you have
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, that's basically it. Let's see here. They say they don't want to kill cryptocurrency. They know they can't. They want to put it in a ghetto like BitTorrent where average people are intimidated and scared to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're right about that.
Yep. Well, I don't think they can kill it. So all they can do is give it a bad name.
But I think people are scared. I think a lot of people are afraid of crypto.
When I first got involved with crypto, I was like, yeah, I was still like a teenager. And anytime I saw like a know your customer thing, that was like an instant turnoff. Not because I was doing anything wrong, but I just didn't feel comfortable sharing my my information. And I know, you know a lot of other people are even more meek, you know, in that regard than I am. So already with like just basic KYC stuff, it's, you know, gatekeeping millions of people out of it.
And if you look at the Crypto 6 case, that happened at the same time as, of course, the FTX scandal yep. was going. And, you know, the judge informed the jury that, oh, well, you know, you guys know that Ian Freeman, he's not the same. He's not connected to FTX. But, I mean, you know, we don't know what they were thinking, right? But there's a good chance those people on the jury were thinking, oh, crypto scam.
Yeah.
You know, crypto scam. Oh, these old ladies scam, you know. And so, therefore, you know, they convicted me, even though there was absolutely no reason to convict me. There was no evidence that was presented. They did not meet their burden of proof in any way, shape, or form in that case. But it didn't matter
yeah.
when it all came down. You know, they said, well, you've got to punish somebody.
Well, they're idiots, for one. They went to public school in America, so you know they're morons. For two, they did it right before Christmas time when everybody wants to go home. These people probably haven't got all their Christmas shopping done because they haven't been to work in a couple months because they've been working on this case for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they just want to get out of there. Yeah, guilty.
But they
send that
gone
guy
the
to
other
prison.
Way.
Guilty, we want to go home.
But they could have gone the other way. They could have gone not guilty. We want to go home.
That doesn't seem as definite for people, though. To say not guilty almost feels like there's something being left undone in their eyes. And I think they're basically
well, there was this parade of victims of scam artists that was brought up in front of them, and the actual scammers weren't on trial. So,
right.
Yeah, well, let's convict somebody.
It's worse than burning a witch.
If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. Here's what Library said on their Twitter today. LBRY.com is their Twitter handle. They say, cryptocurrency really is dying in the United States. The government actually is winning. If we die but people wake up in time to change this, it's still a win. They go on saying, it's not about whether cryptocurrency is a security. It's about whether average Americans can acquire and use cryptocurrency privately. If everyday people can easily and privately acquire cryptocurrency, the law is irrelevant. And that is a big challenge,
mm-hmm.
to acquire cryptocurrency on a private basis. That's what that is absolutely, I think Library is absolutely correct. That is what they're trying to stop. In my case, and this isn't speculation, all you have to do is read the latest filing from the government. It came out last week. It's an objection to our filing to motion to dismiss all the counts. And the government basically lays out there why they believe the jury convicted me, essentially, even though there was like not really any evidence. And they essentially said that one of the things they said was that Ian Freeman advertised that he respected people's privacy. That means he wanted to work with scam artists. So they believe that anyone who promotes privacy is actually trying to help criminals. That's how they
could
hate
they, how
privacy.
Could any normal person with an IQ higher than that of a dog not see that as a gigantic stretch?
That's what they're doing. That's their argument. It's like, oh, privacy bad. If you promote privacy, you are a criminal. You are not only advertising to criminals, but you are essentially in a conspiracy with them, which is how I got convicted of, according to the feds, how I got convicted of conspiracy to money launder with wire fraudsters. Even though there wasn't a shred of evidence that I had any kind of contact with any wire fraudsters or any kind of agreement with them to, like, yeah, sure, I'll launder your money for you or whatever, right? Like, there was nothing like that ever presented. And even though we presented people that said, yeah, Ian's completely honest, he would never do anything like that, we had all the, you know, stuff we needed to counter any kind of belief like that, but there was never any evidence presented of any conspiracy. But the thing is, you don't have to have evidence of a conspiracy to be found guilty of a conspiracy charge. They can say that the conspiracy is unspoken and that it was a, what's the terminology, if you're ignorant, basically, of willful ignorance. That's what they're saying. So by advertising that I respect people's privacy, I was therefore being willfully ignorant of the scam artists that were using me, apparently, to buy Bitcoin. Even though I had all kinds of know-your-customer requirements and required all these hoop jumpings in order to go through, and that the scam artists had to actually get their victims to tell lies to me in order to pass through my security requirements, none of that mattered. Privacy bad. And that's what they're saying here. That's what Library is pointing out, is they're trying to stop people from buying crypto privacy. Because if you go through Kraken, you go through Coinbase, you're on the record.
Right.
They have records of who you are and what you bought. And if the federal government wants to come and request those records with a court order, they'll turn them all over.
They will immediately fold on that.
Right? The IRS wants to know, they're going to find out. Okay? So what do you do? How do you get crypto anonymously without going through the centralized services? Well, you used to be able to go to places like Local Bitcoin, and at least then you'd have some shred of anonymity. Because, like, even if you're buying from an individual on Local Bitcoins, and in my case, I was collecting Know Your Customer information, so I had that information. In fact, that's how the feds got most of the people in this case to testify. Was they didn't even know who they were until they got my files.
No way.
My own files. Is what led to most of those people being on the stand. But yet I'm the bad guy.
Just total screw job.
Right, so you could have found people on Local Bitcoins. Well, now they're shutting down.
But this is another big argument. You know, I'm Monero Matt.
Mm-hmm.
It's another good argument for Monero. You know, at least
but you got to be able to get it.
Well, you got to be able to get it, but Monero is also mineable by anybody.
That's true.
And the more people who mine Monero, the better it is for the network. The network is stronger if you have more miners in it.
That's why they're going to go after the miners next.
What are they going to say? What are they going to do when everybody's got their old laptop that they dug out of the bottom of the closet and plugged it into the wall?
They'll just start arresting them.
Good luck.
Now, I don't know.
They're going to be busy, and they're going to piss off a lot of people.
I wonder if they can get miner IP addresses easily. I don't know how easy or difficult that is. I don't think they're going to start there, though. They're going to go after the websites.
Yeah, sure.
There's more coming up here. You can join the show. It is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA News Update. Police in Dallas, Texas responding to a possible active shooter situation at a Health and Human Services building. Several police cars were seen surrounding the building this afternoon as employees were evacuated to safety. Reports say an employee claimed to hear gunshots. Authorities have not yet confirmed whether a shooting took place. Officers are searching the building. Remember the holiday meltdown with Southwest Airlines? Southwest's chief operating officer is apologizing to customers.
Let me be clear. We messed up.
up.
He said they are reimbursing those affected by major delays and cancellations, but not with cash.
Including hotels, rental cars, meals, tickets on other airlines.
53% to 40%. Republican voters picked Florida Governor Ron DeSantis over former President Trump in a hypothetical matchup for the 2024 presidential nomination. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Matt, and Vincent here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com, and you can enjoy the features there. We do have our own social media platform. You can go to social.freetalklive.com, and you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts there. It's our server. It's run by us. It's a Mastodon-based system, and that means it's decentralized. It means it's federated. So we're connected to some of the other Mastodons out there, but some of them have banned us because, well, we care more about freedom of speech, and a lot of the Mastodons out there don't. So if you want to have more opportunity to express yourself than what you might get on the major megatech platforms, head over and check out social.freetalklive.com. Coming up here, Vincent, I know you wanted to talk about the Ye campaign, Kanye West, or the artist formerly known as Kanye West, and his presidential campaign. Plus, I suspect you've been following this Project Veritas situation, Vincent. Have you been?
No, not closely. I lost interest in Project Veritas because they've had all these bombshells and, like, nothing ever really changed. I mean, good for them for what they do and what they put out, but it's just nothing ever changes. No one ever gets in trouble, and so it's at this point just clickbait to me.
I want to talk about that coming up here as well, but let's go to the phones first. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Phil.
Phil, you're on the air. Go ahead.
You guys talking about Bitcoin and the... You know, all that, and
yes,
there was a time when I just about dived in. I was on Coinbase, and I was just about to open my wallet and get everything set up, and just something inside of me went, you know, my gut is telling me this is not the thing to do, and my gut has always served me very well.
Okay.
And then, probably about 2-3 weeks ago, I'm reading that the entire Bitcoin world is kind of a nepotistic entity where if you have a, and give me the word, it escapes me for some reason. What is it? This electronic money.
I don't know. I mean, there's different.
You know, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is one of many
cryptocurrencies.
Cryptocurrency. Yeah. That's it. I don't know why it didn't come to me. Anyway, mm-hmm. all these cryptocurrencies that are out there get set up, and they all trade each other.
Yeah.
And they artificially boost the price, or they, you know, they sometimes even blatantly lie about the capitalization and all of this stuff, and it's just a house of cards and a hurricane. And so I backed out.
I don't think so. I mean, it really can't. The whole part of the whole point of cryptocurrency is it's all ledger based. It can't really pump itself up. It's either getting used or it's not getting used, and every transaction
right.
is.
And they were and they were buying each other's, you know, currency.
Who?
And well, each other. If currency A is on Coinbase and currency B could have been issued by the same guy, and he's buying himself back and forth, and then, you know, people that are friends are buying each other's.
Oh, so you're talking about, it sounds like you're talking about shilling. Like they're artificially inflating trades to make it look like one thing's going north. They're trying to moon stuff so they can pump and dump.
Right.
Yeah, it's a classic pump and dump kind of thing. But that happens on exchanges. It used to happen on Poloniex all the time.
It happens on Reddit quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be the case. And it's true with stocks, too, by the
way.
Sure,
and companies.
Yeah. It happens on the Forex.
So I just backed out. I think the whole crypto thing is going to collapse, and it's going to crash and burn.
Well, that's what people have been saying for over
Bitcoin
a decade.
Too.
Yeah, Bitcoin's...
Yeah, well, Bitcoin is tanked.
Well, it's back up, actually, right now. I mean,
they say that all the time.
Yeah.
We hear that every 3 months for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin, quote-unquote, tanked when it hit $68,000 in, was it the fall of 2020? I think it was 2020. It went way up, and then it took a crash over the next year in 2021 down to around $16,000. But it's, like 22, 23 today, I think, right now? So $22,000, just so you know, I mean, to give you a little history, is prior to the run-up to 68, 22 would have been a record high. That would have been higher than it peaked in 2017 when it peaked up to around $19,000 or $20,000. So it's if you got into Bitcoin before 2017, you're still up.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about crash, the U.S. dollar is worth less than 1% of what it was when it was started coming out under the Federal Exchange Act. So
that's true.
You can keep riding that train to the ground floor if you want to, but I'm gonna try to stay away from that as much as I can. I don't think that's good, and it's heavily controlled. And I'd rather be in something that's more organic. And I know that the U.S. dollar and government currencies in general, it's not just the U.S. dollar. All government currencies are basically run by the same exact people, and none of them are really good or definitely not organic.
As I understand it, the whole basis for the entire crypto industry is privacy and, you know, just maintaining your privacy on financial situations. And the government cannot get its hands on it, but they're trying to.
They're trying to.
And, yeah, so.
Yeah, if only it were privacy. I mean, most of the coins are not privacy coins. Most of them are public. They're available. The blockchains are viewable publicly. Anyone who wants to can go and look at them and see who's got what. And well, they don't necessarily who owns the wallets, but they know which wallets have how much of any given crypto. In certain cases on privacy coins, they don't know that. So with Monero, for instance, which is the one you've been touting here, Matt, no one can look at that and see what is going on. They have no idea how many people have it. They have no idea what the amounts are in the wallets or anything like that. So there's definitely a drive toward privacy, and I think we're going to see more of a drive toward privacy as more crackdowns continue to occur, because it does not look good for the public people in the cryptocurrency industry. If you're an identifiable person in crypto and you're living in the United States, you're at risk right now, especially if you're running some sort of company and you're developing something. And, you know, that to me is an indicator that cryptocurrency is something worthy of attention.
Absolutely.
Because the government's trying to destroy
it. Of
it
if they are this afraid of it, they are clearly afraid of it.
What were the rumors that were circulating about Prime Minister Trudeau during the trucker strike, where those truckers were using crypto to finance their protests and so on, and just to eat?
That was fantastic. Yeah, people were donating. People all over the world were donating Bitcoin to them.
But what were the rumors? I'm not sure. What are you referring to?
Well, the rumors were that Trudeau was going into these wallets and he was issuing. Now, this is just what I heard. You guys know more about
this. He's doing no such thing.
Than I do.
He's doing no such thing.
I want to hear that. What was he doing?
He was actively trying to get a hold of wallets to confiscate the crypto that belonged to these truckers and people contributing to their cause.
And did you know what came of that? You know what happened with that?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what came
up. So Trudeau directed some federal judges to issue edicts saying that certain crypto wallets had to turn over the accounts and freeze the accounts and give them the names of the holders of the accounts. And those crypto wallets came back and said, basically,
bite me.
Bite me. not it wasn't even so much a bite me. It was a, sorry, judge, not only would we not do that for you, we can't do that for you. Yeah. It's literally impossible for us to do that. And the whole purpose of crypto is for this very reason. Mm-hmm. And someday, when the government currencies collapse, we'll be here for you, too. It was so epic.
Well,
that,
that was a great letter.
You guys are still bullish on crypto, then.
No, I'm still bullish on it for sure.
Absolutely, 100%.
For sure.
All right.
It's just a matter of time.
I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for the call. The one thing I would suggest, and I'm not an investment advisor or anything like that, is rather than like trying to pick the moment, is it down? Is it up? Okay, I'm going to get in. No, what the best strategy I've seen over time is pick an amount that you can afford to lose on a weekly basis or biweekly or whenever you get your paycheck or whatever, and then just go buy that amount on whatever method, whether it's going to Coinbase or going to a local vending machine or something like that. Put it in your own wallet. If you're doing Coinbase or Kraken or something, get it off of their platform, put it in your own wallet, and just let it sit there and just keep on accumulating, whether it's $20 a week or $50 a week or whatever you can afford to do. That way the ups and the downs don't get to you. They don't get to you. It's called dollar cost averaging, and that I think is
crypto cost averaging.
That's probably the best plan.
The other thing that drove me away from it was that there are just so many
that's a problem.
Cryptos out there.
That is a problem.
And doggy coin.
You know, most of them are either clones of Bitcoin with minor adjustments made or clones of Ethereum with minor adjustments made. I preach Monero repeatedly. I am a huge fan of Monero. Monero is a totally different thing. And if you don't know, Monero is an interesting crypto because you don't need any special type of equipment to actually be the mint of Monero. You can make your own Monero by setting up an old laptop that you don't use anymore. It won't make you a whole lot of Monero, but it'll sit there and it'll, if it's not doing anything else, if it's just sitting around on its duff, you can employ that old laptop to actually make some Monero for you passively.
And you're basically paying the power company.
Yeah, you're going to pay the electricity to run the laptop, but it'll do its job.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had not heard that. I'll look that up. All right.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. What about you, Vincent? Do you have any favorites right now in the cryptocurrency world?
Well, I'd say Bitcoin and Monero in terms of privacy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, I do have some Quantum, which is it's sort of like tries to bridge, Bitcoin and Ethereum. But, I think there's too many S coins out there. Yeah. As you know, I think that it takes away attention from like good projects like Bitcoin and Monero. I mean, the only reason, Monero is one and Quantum are like the two things that are preventing me from being a full on Bitcoin maximalist. But
I mean, Bitcoin certainly seems like the safe bet. It's the number one coin. It's probably going to stay number one for some time until the Bitcoin killer comes up, whatever that is going to be. Someday I think we'll see it. I just don't know when that is.
Ford made the Model A for way too long, too.
And, is that right?
And that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is just I mean, old.
It's old. It's
old tech.
Thank you, Bitcoin, for being the forerunner, and the thank you, Henry Ford, for exposing us to the assembly line and standardized manufacturing.
Yeah, sure.
That was such phenomenal technology at the time, but you're kind of failing now because that's really old tech. We need to evolve and move on, and we have, and that's why I don't like Bitcoin. I'm all done with it. I'll probably never make another Bitcoin transaction as long as I live.
Oof. So, Vincent, you said you would be a maximalist if it weren't for Monero?
Yeah, because of its privacy features. And I'm sure there's other good projects, too, that I just haven't had time to look into. But
yeah,
I mean,
that's
I'm
the problem.
So tired.
There's not enough time. There's thousands of Bitcoin, or thousands of coins.
Yeah, and a lot of those coins are worthless or memes, and I really think that's cheapening the crypto, not just the crypto experience, but I think it's also opening crypto up to government intervention. And now, granted, that probably would happen, regardless. The government's always going to try and ruin good things, but I think it just makes it easier for people to get scammed by a Squidward coin and then go crying to the government.
When they raided this house and they were questioning me, one of the things they asked me, they said it was the I think the ATF guy was there listening, but it was definitely the IRS guy on my right side, and then the FBI lady, and I think it may have been somebody from the U.S. Postal Service, wearing khakis and a black jacket, tall guy. He says, I think it was him who said, "Why do you like Monero so much?" And I said, "Because it keeps the business of people like me out from underneath the noses of people like you."
Mm-hmm.
And the room went noticeably silent.
Mm.
It was a very silent little moment.
That's why they hate Monero.
They absolutely are very curious about Monero. I don't think those people knew their butt from a hole in the ground. But it's clear to me, it was clear to me that day, that their bosses are under a lot of pressure to solve whatever this issue is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they really understood why they were asking the questions they were asking. They only had a cursory knowledge of it, but it was clear there was a lot of pressure on them coming from above them. So, and when I said that I liked Monero because it was private from people like them,
mm-hmm.
it was noticeably dead silent in the kitchen.
Let's go to your phone calls. We got Chuck on the line in Washington State. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, so let's just say that you had a motivated investor with about $10,000 just to try and figure out what he or she wanted to do with that $10,000. Would you recommend, and I know you guys aren't financial advisors or whatever, so that being said, would you recommend that person with that capital to go into Bitcoin, or would you recommend them to look at traditional type stocks and go with the hottest thing out there?
Well, personally, if it were me, and like I said, I'm not, as you've acknowledged, we're not financial advisors. We don't, do that.
Well, neither am I.
Right.
I'm just bouncing.
But I can say, if it were me, what I would do is stay the hell away from any kind of government-regulated stock market or whatever, just because I don't think it's any of their business what it is that I don't think it's any of their business what you do with your money that you earned and you're putting at risk. But like I said to the last caller, I wouldn't just take all, as tempting as it would be to just take all $10,000 and dump it into something and then, cross your fingers and hope you got in at the right time. I think, I still think the dollar cost averaging is the smartest way to go about this, to, set aside $100 a week or whatever amount that you think is a good amount. Again, money you can afford to lose.
Yeah. And, I want to point out too, I think it hurts crypto for people to be speculating on it as some kind of investment. It's not an investment. It shouldn't be looked at as an investment in the first place by anybody. Mm. The fact that sometimes it goes up in value and a few people get to brag about the whale move they made, they're looking at it the exact wrong way, too. We shouldn't be looking at this as a way to increase our wealth. We should be looking at it as an alternative to what's out there already, because what's out there has failed us.
Yeah.
It has failed us, and it has hurt
It has mortally wounded our entire civilization. So now that we have something else, we should be trying to convince other people to accept it in exchange for goods and services. And we should have enough so that we can press it into employment under that in those regards.
And that makes sense what you're talking about. I don't know. What's your name, sir?
Matt,
I'm Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Thank you for talking sense into me.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good point. I think it's probably going to fall on a lot of deaf ears out there because most people see number go up and they just want to get they want to get in on that.
What made most sense what Matt said tonight is the thing about he can, you know, the laptop thing, and then as long as you've got a electronic provider for that machine to run, you can turn your laptop into a Bitcoin. I guess what is that the term wallet? Is that correct?
You'd be turning it into a miner.
You'd turn it into a miner. A wallet is
a wallet.
Yeah, you're gonna need a wallet because when the crypto starts, you know, when your machine makes you some crypto, it's gonna want a place to send it. So, for instance. My buddy set it all up for my miner back when I was doing it, but I was in this pool called a pool. It's where other people joined forces with you to make a little bit. And it was called Monero Ocean. If you probably find that if you Google it, but Monero Ocean. And, I had that set so that every time it got up to like a quarter of a Bitcoin, it would send it to me. That way it wasn't sending me little, you know, tiny, teeny fractions of a Monero every single 15 minutes. It was waiting until I had enough to send me. That saved me a transaction fee here and there. So, you know, a mining fee there and there.
But you had to have a friend help you set it up. It's complicated,
You know what, though? After he did it, and I'm a computer idiot. He's a genius.
Okay.
But I'm a computer idiot, and I did go read the instructions on the website how to do this, and they are really straightforward. I think I could have handled it myself by just, you know, wore my ovaries on the outside there for a second. I probably could have pulled it off and gotten that set up myself.
I used to call up and do prank phone calls as best I could to Free Talk Live before tonight, but I'm being serious right now. What you said makes so much goddamn sense. It really does. And I just figured it out. I mean, it oh my God. I'm going to hang up and really play that.
Got stuff to think about. All right. Thank you, Chuck, for the call.
Glad we could help.
Vincent, you want to weigh in on his question, though? You got $10,000. What do you do?
I like your dollar cost averaging suggestion, but like for the first thing that came to my mind was to definitely diversify it. So I'd probably put some into like if I suddenly had like right now just, you know, 10 grand dump into my lap, I'd probably put half of it into something that provides passive income. So like blue chip, you know, dividend paying stocks. And if I wanted to put some of that into crypto, I'd probably put it into, you know, proof of stake for, you know, the same concept. And then the rest, I'm not a financial advisor. It's just what I would do. The rest I'd put into, a regular, you know, diverse, like index fund, maybe some like, you know, oil, and some metals. And now I know some people, you know, like who haven't listened in a while might be saying, is this the same Vincent? Have you been, you know, abducted by government aliens? and I mean, like, I do think that the financial system is precarious, but like, you know, growing up myself and a lot of other people who get, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, red pilled and woken up, we listen to people who have financial interests in selling gold and and, you know, disaster equipment and stuff. And, you know, I probably like part of me wishes I did invest, you know, invest more in, you know, stocks and stuff instead of MREs and ammunition and, you know, survival things, just because the world didn't collapse. You know, life goes on, and it's no life worth living, you know, thinking, just like looking forward to a collapse, waiting, you know, looking forward to the end. So
unless
now,
you really
I mean,
love that type of thing.
But I'm not trying to cast any judgment. But yes, I think there's a balance between having, you know, beans, bullets, and Bibles, and being somewhat, you know, savvy about being into finance. Yeah, and Bitcoin, exactly. Yeah, before bees and bullion, fine.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
So I think there's a balance.
Yeah,
in the study of economics, one of the first things you learn is the axiom: guns or butter. Are we buying guns or are we buying butter? Which is more important? Are we going to go to war or are we going to eat?
Why can't you do both?
Yeah, well, that's the idea. We're striking a balance all times.
All right, so changing gears a little bit here. The Project Veritas, Vincent, you kind of hinted that you're over it with Project Veritas. I got to say, I think they do good work. Having watched their recent video, I watched some of them last year as well, but their recent one where they cornered this guy from Pfizer. Have you seen this one, Matt, the Pfizer guy?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it, Vincent, even though you're trying to avoid it?
I avoid it just because of out of disappointment. I know they don't have any control over it, but I did see the recent one too. It was amazing.
So listeners, just who maybe have not seen this yet, maybe 3 weeks ago at this point, Project Veritas released a video where once again they had one of their undercover agents, reporters on a date with this guy from Pfizer who was like an executive at Pfizer and presumably still is. I don't know if there's any evidence he's been fired yet. But he just came right out and just admitted, yeah, they're doing not quote-unquote gain-of-function research, but, what was the term that they used?
Like forced evolution.
Yeah, directed evolution. That was the terminology. So it was basically the same thing, just different terminology. They admitted that they are manipulating the COVID virus in the hopes that they're going to be able to put out vaccines before they're even necessary, that kind of thing. And it was kind of a shocking report for people that maybe haven't believed the conspiracy theories on these issues, and it verified a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But then they confronted the dude in a restaurant in New York City in the follow-up video, and the dude lost his mind and like grabbed the iPad from the Project Veritas guy and just smashes it on the ground. And
he's down on his hands and knees,
yeah,
smashing an iPad.
Went crazy.
What do you want to bet he got? What do you want to get? Bet he got a slap on the wrist, and he's about to get a promotion if he hasn't already got one. And just, you got to think. The guy's already evil as it is. They like him because he's evil, and now he's learned a hard lesson about the public eye. So he's going to shut up for the rest of his life and do his evil stuff.
So we got more here coming up regarding Project Veritas. Now, apparently, the founder of the organization is on paid leave, and allegedly the board of directors is considering firing...
Of Project Veritas?
The founder of Project Veritas.
He's there with James O'Keefe?
That's right.
Why?
The very same. We'll talk about it coming up in Hour 3. It's Free Talk Live.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.